Hi, we're so happy you're here, and we are so excited to tell you about an awesome wedding planning resource that we have created just for you.
In March of 2021, we launched the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, a digital course designed with you in mind. Any budget, any type of wedding, at any phase of wedding planning.
We spent a year creating this interactive course. It includes unlimited access, all of our templates, spreadsheets, timelines, checklists, and pro tips. Everything is downloadable and customizable, and we walk you through it step by step with video tutorials and screen shares.
We threw it all into this course. There's no way you won't get something out of it. We're so sure, we've included a 30-day money-back guarantee.
We're so excited to share this course with you and to help you plan your wedding our way.
So go to www.thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com for more information and to sign up and to purchase. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez, and normally this is where she would say, and I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for joining us today. But just pretend that was her. She's not here. I am in my home on our field mic equipment with a special guest who is one of you out there listening, because Lauren is a listener of the podcast and she reached out to us about consulting, I think, initially. And Lauren happens to live really close to where I live here in the Bay Area, and we have a lot in common, which we'll get into. But today, this episode is all around body positivity. And it's something that is very important to me as a mother of two children, a boy and a girl. It's something that I've worked on personally throughout my life. And I know a lot of people do struggle with and also excel at. And so we're going to talk about all things having to do with nutrition and body. I'm going to just let you know who we are interviewing today. This is Lauren Fowler. Lauren is a certified eating disorder registered dietitian, as well as a yoga instructor. And she specializes in nutrition therapy for eating disorders and disordered eating. Two different things that sound the same.
Yeah.
So welcome, Lauren.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is exciting. And this is the first time I have a listener of the show in my home.
Oh, wow. Feels so special.
Yeah, you're very special. So Lauren, tell me, how did you get into this line of work?
Sure. So I actually started college in nursing school. I knew I wanted to work in health, and then switched to more nutrition, of wanting to kind of help people just with their overall health and wellness rather than like the nursing hospital care. And I kind of just fell into eating disorders. Like, I knew a lot of people, and kind of me personally in my life, who struggled with eating disorders or disordered eating, and just a lot of people like in my life, and then just general struggle with negative body image.
Yeah.
So I ended up working with another dietitian that worked with eating disorders and just fell in love with being able to help people with not only their physical health and well-being, but their mental health and well-being, because those two go really hand in hand.
Totally.
And I work mostly with adolescents with eating disorders, and still see on the side some adults with eating disorders and disordered eating. So helping the adolescents and the kids make peace with food, feel better in their body, and just feel more nourished rather than obsessing about food and their body image 24/7.
Okay. There's like so many things you just said that I like would like to dissect.
Sure.
But how this is related to wedding planning, and you all know we do all sorts of subjects that are either very closely or loosely related. And I feel like this is very closely related to weddings, because most women, but oftentimes many men, most women, when they're going to be getting married, the first thing you think of is, I gotta fit into that dress or that really cute tailored suit or whatever it is. I wanna look my best. These photos are gonna last forever. Mm-hmm. They're gonna be around longer than I'm around. I wanna look good. And so immediately thinking about our physical appearance.
Yeah.
And when we think about our physical appearance, when we look in the mirror, it's very easy to think about the negatives.
Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to focus on the imperfections around
that.
Yes,
yeah. Thank you. You know the right terminology. Focus on my arms. I want my arms to look good in that dress, or like I need to lose weight, or I want to like go, you know, get muscles or definition or whatever it is. I personally, when I got married a long time ago, and I will share with you all, and I think I've said it before on the show, like most of my life, I was very overweight, Like I am 4'11". And 8 years ago, I weighed 174 pounds. So, and growing up, like, it was always about food and eating. You know, my grandmother wanted to take care of us. She fed us. You know, we went to her house and she had, you know, she would like list out all of the goodies that she could possibly feed us. And that was love to us, because we were struggling with divorced parents. But anyway, and then it was like, growing up in middle school, my dad and my stepmom wanted all my friends to be at our house, right? Which was smart. They wanted to keep an eye on us. But how did they do that? They went to Costco and they had the best freaking snacks ever, like the cupcakes and the cookies and the, you know, Doritos and like everything. And so I was never educated as a child growing up, as most people my age, on nutrition.
Yeah, I think that's missing in a lot of people.
It's missing in so many people's lives. And so when it came time for when my husband and I became engaged and we were planning our wedding, that was my freaking mission. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do whatever fast way I can do it, which back then was the Atkins diet, right? No carbs. Carbs are bad. You're going to eat as much bacon as you want. But no carbs. And I'll go to the gym. I hate working out. I've always hated it, but I'll go to the gym, you know? And I did, I lost 17 pounds and I was very proud of myself. And I thought I looked great, but you know, as soon as the wedding was over.
Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of people get into it around like that off. And is like, unfortunately the first thought of like, I have to lose weight or have to look perfect for their wedding rather than focusing on like the love or the experience or kind of the marriage afterwards. And weddings or these big transitions in life can be kind of a chance. A lot of people turn to losing weight or these extreme diets or wanting to lose weight really fast. But we could reframe it as like a way to just focus on overall health and well-being with you and your future spouse of like, let's learn to cook together more, or let's get moving together more. Just focusing on these more sustainable, healthy habits over time that's going to last you through the wedding and then after the wedding as well. And they may or may not have anything to do with what your body looks like.
Yeah. Do you have any personal history as well with any of this?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely struggled with a lot of disordered eating growing up around just feeling uncomfortable in my body, wanting to kind of lose weight, wanting to change my body, and just having these like constant thoughts around food and body image in my life. And then just being able to switch out of that through a lot of like personal work, therapy. I always recommend therapy with all of this.
Yes.
And regardless, if you struggle with this, like therapy can be great when you're planning a wedding with all the stress as well. And then just being surrounded with more like body positive people. So I know social media can be a trigger, if, especially with weddings. Like I know when I was looking at like wedding dresses online.
Oh, yes. By the way, Lauren's engaged and she's getting married.
Yes.
Go ahead.
When I was looking at wedding dresses online, all of the models you see are just very smaller, thin women.
Yep.
In the wedding dresses, you can't really understand kind of what your body may look like in the dresses until you actually go to the shop. And there are a lot of times even the shops don't even stock dresses or sample sizes for people. Like maybe a lot of times the sample size dresses are like size 12 and like the average woman is maybe like a size 14 or 16. Mm. So that kind of cuts
that
out.
That is true, isn't mm-hmm. it? Yeah, yeah, the average size is like 14, I heard, mm-hmm. in the U.S.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that probably like half of the people getting married have to maybe like squeeze into a sample dress that isn't going to fit them, or they mm-hmm. They can't really get an understanding of what the dress may look like.
Yeah. So I'm curious to know, because I bet I've often thought, do I have an eating disorder? Like, mm-hmm. what... What is considered an eating disorder? I mean, I know there's sure. different types, mm-hmm. but like, can you expand on that?
Yeah, definitely. And it's actually kind of good timing that we're recording this to National Eating Disorder Awareness Week.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that. We're in March 1st right now.
Yeah, I think it varies year to year, but yeah, always end of February, beginning of March or so.
Okay. So. Interesting. All right.
Yeah. So an eating disorder, some of the symptoms that could be aware of that... just changing or obsessing about these food or eating behaviors. It could be restricting, it could be binging, purging, over exercise. So like doing kind of more exercise than is normal, or going to the gym instead of hanging out with friends. It could be this like constant thoughts about food. It could be different medical symptoms. So like no energy, kind of obsessing about food, always going on these diets. And it really is a mental health disorder. So if someone doesn't choose to have an eating disorder, that dieting is a really big risk factor. And they say like 1 in 4 people who go on a diet end up developing an eating disorder.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's one thing to be aware of, like one of the risk factors when you're getting married, that it's actually really dangerous to start a diet because it could lead to these extreme disordered eating behaviors or even an eating disorder.
That you are relating to your marriage, your mm-hmm. wedding.
Yeah.
Like subconsciously, this is now connected directly to your mm-hmm. wedding day.
Yeah. And luckily there are a lot of like good treatments out there of like working with a therapist and a dietitian and a physician to create this like treatment team mm-hmm. To support you in your recovery.
Now, we're not mm-hmm. saying, and at least I'm not, mm-hmm. and yeah. I don't think you are either, that there's anything wrong with saying, I want to lose weight. Right? If yeah. you recognize that you want to better yourself physically, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm pro that, but I think it's the way that you go about it or the way that you think about yourself is what we're talking about more like.
Yeah, and I think especially in our culture, there's these like constant media around like body image and food and diets all the time that like everyone probably has this thought of, I want to lose weight all the time. My approach is really to switch from the weight and over to the overall health. Mm-hmm. So focusing on these like long-term healthy behaviors
yeah.
that may change your body, but even if it doesn't, it's going to support your physical and mental health.
Yeah.
And everyone's body is different. So some people weight may change and some people's weight may stay the same, mm-hmm. but their overall health could improve. They could have more energy, just feel better in their body. And even like, I'm a huge proponent of like ditching the scale that a lot of people, especially women, could turn to like obsessing over the scale and stepping on the scale every single day.
You know, I'm guilty of that.
And that's okay.
I'm guilty of that. Because I actually am. Right now, I am doing this 8-week challenge regimen, program mm-hmm. of somebody I found on social media. And this isn't the first time I've done mm-hmm. it. I did it at the gym. It's a 6-week challenge. Mm-hmm. But the idea of it is to, yes, it's 8 weeks, but it's to educate yourself on nutrition and make it a lifestyle as opposed to a temporary like diet. Like the mm-hmm. word diet, I'm super like mm-hmm. against yeah. because I think of diet as temporary, mm-hmm. like a fix. as opposed to a lifestyle change, right? Like, yeah. I went from eating, you know, a shitload of gluten and lactose that has ruined my, like, I've always had digestive mm-hmm. problems all my life. Never occurred to me mm-hmm. that it could have been something I was eating. Never even occurred to me. Isn't mm-hmm. that crazy? Now I know all about what it is. But going back to the scale is I do weigh myself every morning mm-hmm. at the same time, and I keep a log. And I challenge myself not to let that daily number mm-hmm. bother me, yeah. right? Before, if it went up, it would bother me. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be, like, angry for the day. I would be not angry. I don't know if I was angry at myself, but just irritated. Like, it would just ruin my day. Mm-hmm. And then the days that it would go down, I'd be like, yes! You know, like, oh, it went down. Yes! And then that happened for a while, and then now I do it, and if it went up, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. Like, I am okay. And I keep it written down, and I look over time, and what I look for now is consistency rather than, like, what looks like a heart rate monitor, right? Mm-hmm. It's going up, it's going down. Yeah. It's going up, it's going down. That's not what I want. I don't want a dramatic weight loss, and I don't want, obviously, dramatic mm-hmm. weight gain, but I do think to myself sometimes, like, is this unhealthy behavior? Am I obsessing over this?
Everyone finds something that works that works for them.
Yeah.
Some people need to ditch the scale. And yes. then some people, like you said, it's the scale or the number on the scale shouldn't define you or right. impact how you feel for the day.
Right.
Or looking in the mirror. It's different things for different people.
It's different things for mm-hmm. different people because we all are walking on this earth with different mm-hmm. body types.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm super duper short.
Yeah.
I have a short torso. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, like, for example, Christy, you know, mm-hmm. she's like twice my height, uh-huh. you know, and she's like thin, thin, skinny, she can eat mm-hmm. whatever the fuck she wants. Mm-hmm. So we all have different body types, and this is part of, and I feel like I am still on a journey, mm-hmm. but to having positive thoughts about my body and my mm-hmm. health and yeah. teaching that to my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly trying to educate them on, did you have protein today? What is this carbohydrates? Mm-hmm. What kind of carbohydrates? Mm-hmm. How much sugar? Reading labels mm-hmm. and food. Like, I want them to be aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And kind of going back to, like, we all exist in different body shapes and sizes. I think one of the reasons I love your podcast is there always has been that inclusivity talk around talking about, like, LGBTQ wedding. Or I listened to the podcast with the couple you interviewed in Boston.
Polyamory.
Yes, yeah.
The three of them, actually.
Yes, yes, exactly. Oh, yeah, the couple, not just the couple.
A family.
Mm-hmm. The family, mm-hmm. so especially with, like, body shape and sizes, I think that can be missed, that there are a lot of people in, like, larger bodies that experience a lot of, like, weight discrimination or kind of, like, weight bias and a lot of, like, fat phobia in our culture.
Yeah.
And especially in weddings where maybe these dresses aren't available to people in all shapes and sizes.
Yes. Yeah. Which is part of the reason I love the custom dress through Anomaly, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it is important. And I think we're seeing, listen, when I started mm-hmm. my business, there were no full figured brides mm-hmm. in any photos anywhere. Mm-hmm. Now there are.
Yeah.
And I'm happy about that. Yep. And there's still much more to go, but specifically social media is a huge, mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
so big. Pop culture, the Kardashians, mm-hmm. you know, like, it's huge. And it's in your face every day. We're obsessed with it. We're looking at it. Mm-hmm. We want to be good at it. We want to get more followers. I mean, us as the podcast, mm-hmm. we do that as well. But we try very hard to also think about the images that we're putting on our feed. Mm-hmm. But yes, you look at Instagram and you're like, oh my God, she's gorgeous. She's got the perfect color skin. Look at her muscles. Like, mm-hmm. oh my God, he looks so good in that mm-hmm. suit. You know, like,
yeah, so easy to compare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with looking good.
Yeah.
But just like Christy and I were talking the other day, we will rant and rave about how there are these crazy, unrealistic photos of amazing weddings mm-hmm. everywhere you look on these big platform, you know, Instagram feeds. And we're like, dude, that costed $1 million. That is not a wedding that our clients are having. That is not a wedding that our listeners are having. And so same thing with a lot of these, you know, body messages. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I listened to that kind of rant, the Patreon podcast yesterday.
Have you heard it, the bonus? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
that made me, I think, like, I have a pattern of, like, following all of those, like, websites where they put the inspirational wedding. Like, oh, maybe I should actually put a pause on looking at all those as I'm planning.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, you know, I feel like there's a lot of people. This is my husband. This is what I always complain to him about. Whatever it is he's talking about or thinking about, it's always black or white. Mm-hmm. Black or white, black or white. There's never that gray area. Mm-hmm. And I am all about the gray area, those in between, you know? And I think that that's something in all aspects of life we have to think about, but in a lot in wedding planning, because we're putting so much pressure on ourselves on this one frickin' day.
Yeah.
Okay.
And on social media, I'm a huge fan of, like, doing a social media detox of, like, maybe unfollowing a lot of big accounts or people that do make you feel bad about yourself. If you're constantly seeing these, like, bodies, and there's a lot of, like, body positive people on social media, or promoting these more non-diet approaches that could be more helpful to follow.
Yeah. And that whole fucking FOMO, this whole thing that has been created, FOMO, I'm lucky I don't suffer from FOMO. That's what my husband says. You know, you're lucky you don't suffer from that. But a lot of people do. And I don't. And it makes life even harder, you know, that you just don't want to miss out on all of these things. Anyway, okay. We could just rant on so much right now.
Or just spend less time on social media.
Try to spend less time. That's why I like the new feature that Apple has rolled out how much screen time you're having. It's really eye-opening to look at that. okay, so going back to, let's talk about, we kind of identified ways in which you can kind of identify if perhaps you have an eating disorder, or, you know, are stepping on the scale every day and you're having really, your day really is, predetermined based on those numbers, right? So maybe if that's happening to you, you don't want to be stepping on the scale every day. But what are some really good takeaways for someone listening right now that is in fact doing this? I'm Michelle. I want to lose weight for my wedding. My goal is to lose 10 pounds. What would you say to someone who's doing this? Like, what do you think is a healthy way of going about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think first just starting to question some of these messages that we hear all the time, that, like, you have to lose weight for your wedding, and these things may be coming from, like, family or friends, or these, like, bridal kind of big wedding websites or messages that we hear. So just start to question those things and ask them if they are true for you, of, like, would it be actually helpful to lose weight for your wedding, or does it even matter? And then being able to focus on, like, what are some of these things in your health and your life that you do want to work on, that you can make healthier habits around. And maybe looking, like, big picture, like, a lot of people focus on kind of these very specific details of, like, I'm going to try this supplement or this one particular diet. But if you look big picture of, like, am I eating overall balanced meals? Am I getting vegetables in my diet? Am I drinking a lot of water? Am I getting enough sleep? So kind of identifying what out of all of those things, like, am I managing my stress, that you can work on? And I'm a big fan of just working, like, one habit at a time, instead of kind of trying to change everything all at once, because that could increase your stress, or it could turn into more of, like, a temporary fix rather than a long-term fix.
Yeah.
And especially if you're wedding planning, you may not have a lot of time to kind of take on this, like, whole huge lifestyle change overnight.
Yes, because that is a lot. I mean, you're adding so much to your plate planning your wedding now, in addition to your whole other, your work and your social life, right?
Yeah. So maybe you just start with, like breakfast, of, like, getting up, having, like, a balanced breakfast that energizes you, that feels good in your body.
What's a balanced breakfast?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's different for everyone, but I like to think about these more, like, internal cues of, like, asking yourself, like, what you're wanting in the morning, and playing around with different foods that are going to feel energized and that are going to fill you up. So, for example, it could be like a smoothie. Like, I know you're having a smoothie right now, or for someone else, it could be, like, I like to think about having different food groups. So some carbohydrates, some proteins, like fruit or veg, some fats in there, and having, like, enough to eat. I think a lot of people are end up under eating in the morning, maybe out of like habit, maybe they're just rushing in the morning or from a diet approach, but actually having enough to eat so you have the brain power and the energy to get through your morning, whether you're working or going to the gym or whatever you're doing.
Hey, you guys, you have heard us say probably several times that there is nothing worse than an ill-fitting suit on a man or a woman, really. But we are super excited because Indochino is the sponsor of this episode that you're listening to. They make made-to-measure suits that fit better compared to generic off-the-rack suits. And they are able to fit grooms and their parties at their showrooms or with the online wedding planner.
They're awesome. And I can speak from experience because I went to the Scottsdale store with my husband, Lance, and I posted some stories about that, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. And he picked out fabric for his first Indochino shirt. It has this little like old-fashioned bicycle print on it, which is actually really outside of his norm. And I was so proud of him for thinking outside the box, and it was delivered and he loved it. And we ended up going back to the Scottsdale location and he ordered 5 more shirts.
He's hooked.
He is hooked. And it's awesome because it's an elevated experience. So like Lance, guys love the wide selection of high quality fabrics and colors to choose from, not to mention all the options to personalize the details, including your lapel, the lining, pockets, buttons, and your own monogram. Indochino is the place for your wedding party, y'all.
So this week, our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $379 at Indochino.com. You guys, it's 50% off. We know some of you are already using this because you've reached out to us and you love it. There's free shipping. So go to Indochino.com for this incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit. Once you go custom, you don't go back. Indochino.com, and you're going to enter promo code BIGWEDDING at checkout. So Indochino.com, get your suit for just $379, promo code BIGWEDDING at checkout. We love you. Thank you, Indochino.
If somebody wanted to, because there's so much information out there.
So much.
Yes.
If someone wanted to go, are there any resources like your go-tos or favorites for someone like me? Let's say I had no fucking idea how to do any of this, but I just knew that I needed to be healthier. How would I know what's a balanced breakfast for me? Or how many calories should I be eating? Or like how much water should I be drinking? Is there like a really simple resource you would recommend going to?
I wish they were, but I don't think there really is. I mean, I think if someone were like starting from kind of this place where they don't have much awareness or not a lot of education around nutrition, they could definitely go work with a dietitian.
Oh, yeah.
So they could see.
Yes, a dietitian. Okay. Yes. So I've never worked with a dietitian. I remember once my doctor said, I can recommend a nutritionist for you because I have some cholesterol issues, which are genetic. Is it expensive to work with a dietitian?
It just depends on the state. A lot of times insurance will cover it.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. So California, I know it may be, it just depends on like the insurance basically and the plan, but a lot of states like it, a lot of times insurance will cover it.
So when people
be part of it, so
when you go to a dietitian, what do they do for you? Like, I mean, have you worked with people? You've done this for people.
Yeah.
So let's say I'm coming to you, Lauren, and I meet with you for the first time. What are we going to do?
Yeah. So we would do like an assessment. So you may fill out some paperwork before, or we'd do the assessment in the session just to get an understanding of like what your daily eating patterns are like, kind of what a few days of eating is like, what are like your goals around food or nutrition of like, do you want to work on your cholesterol? Like some people have like very particular like health conditions. So that would be medical nutrition therapy of like nutrition therapy for high cholesterol or nutrition therapy for diabetes, or it could just be general health and wellness of let's come up with some meal ideas or let's create like a plan. So you're eating on these like regular patterns. Or it could be like, I like working with a lot of people on what's called intuitive eating. So building these more internal awareness instead of like the diets that kind of tell you what and when to eat, using your body's own wisdom of like, oh, when you're hungry, asking yourself like what you're wanting to eat, or stopping when you're full, creating these more like mindful eating patterns.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people just are really mindless around their eating as well. Like,
oh God,
eat on the go. And like, obviously that people are not going to have time to sit down every single time they're eating just quietly, but creating these more mindfulness, maybe like having dinner with family or your partner or just by yourself at night, away from the phone or the TV, so you can really enjoy the food and notice how it feels for you.
Yeah. You know, one thing right now, again, I go back to my kids because I feel like I'm shaping these little people to become grownups, right? Well, actually it's literally what I'm doing, but they do like to sit after school. They come home and of course they want to decompress. Right. Mm-hmm. And they want to go to their phones or iPad and like, just like play games or watch a show or, you know, whatever it is, which I'm okay with. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not fighting that, but I have, and my husband and I used to let them do this and we've stopped. They'll sit there at that table. They'll have their snack and they'll watch their screen while they're eating their snack, and they are mindlessly eating. And so we have said, no more screens while you're eating. Mm-hmm. Sit down, you eat your food. And then when you're done, you can go have your screen time. And I've been guilty of it. Like, if I'm exhausted and I'm like, oh my God, I'm home right now and I'm dying to catch up on my, you know, I'm binging some stupid Netflix show, which I love. I will eat, I have a big computer in my kitchen, the iMac, and I'll stand there and I'll eat my food while I watch my show sometimes. And at times I'm like, stop it, Michelle, don't do this. But I am guilty of it.
Yeah, and none of this is like aiming for perfection.
No.
Like, you can still be mindful while watching TV, but also having those times where you're just kind of sitting down and enjoying your food away from the screens.
Yeah.
I think that's why a lot of people love like going out to eat, because they're just enjoying the social experience around food and talking.
They're there to eat and to be social and to talk. That's
Because food is really connected to like our emotions and our social in like a positive way too, with family. And it can end up being like emotionally negative and positive, but we can kind of reframe it to these more positive experiences.
I mean, think about the wedding. There's always that conversation. Who's going to cater? What kind of food are you going to have? Mm-hmm. Every celebration in life we have, there's food there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it is. It's just a huge part of our culture, our society. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you want to be able to enjoy that on your wedding day instead of thinking about the calories or what's in the food or what's not in the food.
Yes. Yeah. And during the day, in the morning, I'm always telling my clients, like, make sure you eat really healthy food in the morning for your day. Make sure you're drinking a shit ton of water and that you're eating good nutritional food before, because we don't know the next time you're going to eat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it just goes like that. Mm-hmm. And so, and having healthy snacks and asking the, you know, the family members or the wedding party to have like some protein bars or like berries and ton of water so that you can give him food, you know, before and after the photos or whatever it is. Okay. What do you do for somebody when they come in for an appointment? So you assess.
Yeah.
You
so we'll questions. Do an assessment, ask questions, and then it's really just meeting someone where they are of what are their goals? What do they want to work on, and finding kind of plans or strategies that will work for them. So just based on kind of like their financial status, their overall goals, what their lifestyle is like. Like, I'm not going to tell someone who doesn't have time to kind of cook a gourmet meal every single night, but maybe finding some like on the go convenience foods for that person.
Yes. Or so, meal prepping,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Having foods, healthy foods, go to quick in advance, ready for you. So that when you are hungry, your only choice is to make the right choice.
Yeah, exactly. So just finding the strategies that work for that individual person. It's really individualized, and using also like really evidence-based nutrition, since if you do Google, there is a lot of like the pseudoscience out there, like restrictive eating patterns that aren't really backed by science.
Yeah.
So creating these more like evidence-based approaches that aren't going to add a lot of like restricting or stress to that person's lifestyle, because I don't want to add any more stress to someone's lifestyle.
Mm. It is a lot of work though, isn't it? Like changing your habits.
Yeah. I mean, it requires a lot of awareness.
Body positivity.
Sure.
What does that mean?
Yes. I mean, body positivity was kind of a social movement built out of like the fat phobia and the weight discrimination in our culture by larger women, because there is so much weight discrimination. Like, for example, like the wedding dresses may not be as accessible to people. And body positivity is kind of can be used for people of all sizes and shapes in the sense of creating just this better, healthier relationship with your body. So it's not this negative judgments 24/7.
Yeah. It's so easy to be negative too.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the approach I take with people of like, if you spent like most of your life not liking your body, of just getting to a place of like body neutrality, of just being
neutrality.
Yeah, being neutral around your body. Cause it's really hard to go from a place of hating your body to loving your body.
Mm-hmm.
So finding that kind of like middle ground, so it's not black or white, like you mentioned,
yeah,
around just being neutral of like, okay, I can tolerate my body, or I'm gonna work on thinking or obsessing about my body a little bit less. You don't have to kind of love your body 24/7. I don't think anyone ever does.
No, just like you don't love your partner 24/7. I mean, you might be super, super mm-hmm. in love with your fiance this week, but last week you were like, ugh, it's fucking getting on my nerve. You know, like that's the same way. It goes yeah. in ways with yourself. That's healthy. Mm-hmm. That is, yes. that is normal.
Mm-hmm. And spending just your body doesn't have to be the most important thing about you. There's so many other qualities that are way more important, like your humor or your kindness, your compassion. All of that matters a lot more than what your body looks like.
Oh my God. Yes. That's really
because a lot of people focus exclusively on their body because of our culture.
I mean, there's a mirror everywhere.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I have so many mirrors in my house.
Pretty mirrors, though.
Thank you. I like mirrors. Makes the room look bigger.
Yeah.
And I see myself. Oh, God. Okay. When you're working with kids, mm-hmm. I just can't. I mean, it's yeah. sensitive, right? I mean, I can't imagine you must go through some tough times with some kids, right? With eating disorders.
Yeah. I mean, it can be really tough, but also like really rewarding to see that I work in a residential program. So they live there for a few months at a time.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty bad for them then if they
so
have
they,
to
yeah,
live
they have
there.
To have like the... They require like the structure and support of like 24/7 care for both medically and mental health wise.
Lauren, I didn't know that you did that. That yeah. was that. Wow.
Yeah. But it is really rewarding to see. You can often see like from the day they get to our program to like a month or two later when they do leave, they have made such progress. And I think kids, there is a lot of like hope with their recovery since they haven't had their eating disorders for very long.
Sure.
And their minds are so kind of open. They haven't been exposed to these messages for mm-hmm. as long. So you can really see changes in how they view their body or how they view food in a short amount of time.
Do just thinking about the psychological aspect of it, do a lot of them have issues at home, have trauma in their background? Do you find that a lot?
Yeah, that's definitely trauma can be kind of a big part of it as mm-hmm. well. And they all do family therapy, that families are not to blame for their eating disorders, mm-hmm. that are a lot of number of factors. And families can be this really protective factor that they all do family therapy to create these like boundaries or healthier, just the goal is to create this healthy relationship in the whole family.
Yeah.
So we're working with like creating like family meals, like a lot of like families these days. And it's, I mean, everyone's so busy, but end up not having those regular family meals. So
yes.
creating like spending more time with their family, sitting down, enjoying food and avoiding some of that diet or those negative food comments with their kids as the family.
What are comments that you hear a lot that people just say on a regular that you should avoid or not say or?
Yeah. And I think a lot of these are like well-intentioned because we hear these negative things about food in our culture all the time, but it may be like, finish your vegetables before you eat your dessert. Cause then it's putting like one food on a pedestal ahead of another compared to having like overall just neutral things of like, for example, like one of the approaches that not necessarily with eating disorders, but for adolescent and kid nutrition there's a dietitian named Ellen Satter that uses a model of competence eating that kids tend to be intuitive eaters. Like, kids do know how to listen to their hunger and their fullness, especially when they're babies. They cry when they're hungry. They're able to really stop when they're done. And then toddlers, maybe they go through phases of like getting really hungry when they're growing and then less hungry or less interested in food at other times during the day or the week. So the parents providing the food, providing a wide variety of foods at the table, but then it's really up to the kids to decide how much and what they're eating. Just having the overall exposure, so there's less of the good or bad, black or white thinking around food, mm-hmm. and it's more of like listening to the body's internal wisdom and awareness.
Oh boy, we need to talk after this.
And it's no one's fault. Like, we're exposed to these messages, yes. and it's not about perfection. It's right. kind of working in these things over time.
Yeah. Okay. So going back to people listening right now who are planning their wedding, or maybe mm-hmm. some of you out there, you know, you're wedding professionals, and I know that there's cake bakers that listen mm-hmm. and they're working all the time. And, what are some kind of easy solutions or good things to add to your life right now, like the meal prep, for example, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. I tried on Sundays to mm-hmm. like cook. I eat a lot of oatmeal. Mm-hmm. I eat a lot of brown rice. So I have my rice cooker and I make a big batch mm-hmm. and it's in the fridge, you know, or I cook my chicken in the sous vide, you know. What are some other things people can do to be healthy and kind of adapt a lifestyle and things they can not only just consume, but, you know, in the, maybe looking in the mirror and some sort of exercise, you know, mm-hmm. that you say or do for body positivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think one thing of like starting to have this awareness of your hunger throughout the day and eating regularly. Mm. I know it's so easy to just get busy and then like end up like starving when you get home. So maybe it's like packing snacks or making sure you're having regular meals and snacks throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And then noticing like what you could add to your meals. Like if there is a lot of like, if there's not a lot of like whole grains in there or a lot of vegetables, what you can add to your meals mm-hmm. to create those overall balance or to add more of the nutrients rather than taking things away. Mm-hmm. In terms of like body image work, I think just starting to really question a lot of these beliefs that we have around like, you don't have to change your body. You don't have to lose weight if you don't want to. Maybe it is like unfollowing a lot of these people on social media and following just people of all sizes and shapes on social media. So you have that exposure. Mm. Or just taking a step back of not thinking, and it's easier said than done, not thinking about your body as much, of filling your life with other things that don't have to do with your body, of like setting some boundaries, and especially with weddings, setting some boundaries in your life with people around conversations about your weight or your body. Yeah. Like a lot of people make comments if you're getting married of like, oh, are you going to lose weight? Are you going to go on a diet? And maybe it's asking those people of like, oh, please don't comment on my body, or please don't kind of talk about these things around me. Especially if you are struggling from an eating disorder or working on your recovery from disordered eating or an eating disorder.
Mm. If you think you might have an eating disorder, if somebody listening is like, I'm not sure, I might, I think I do. Yeah. What would be your advice to them right now?
There is a simple screening on the NEDA, so National Eating Disorder Awareness website, and I can give it to you to put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
That it could just be, and there's a call line as well that you could call and talk to someone, or it could be reaching out to a therapist, dietitian, or doctor in your area just to have that like start of a conversation. It doesn't mean that you have to see them regularly. It could just be starting that conversation, or it could be talking to someone in your life that is really supportive, that you, maybe it's your partner or family member or friend that you can talk to, because mm-hmm. often eating disorders really thrive in like secrecy or shame, that you don't really want to talk about it. Yeah. And it's kind of these like hidden behaviors inside.
I was going to say, like, if you make that phone call, it becomes mm-hmm. real.
Yeah.
You're afraid of what that person on the other line might tell you. Like, mm-hmm. yes, you need to seek treatment.
Yeah. So just starting that conversation with someone.
Wow. Okay.
And then for wedding dress shopping in particular, I know this can be both like a really exciting but also like challenging situation yep. for people. Of so it could be bringing really supportive people to the appointment of like these people are that are not going to really critique your body in a negative way, or going by yourself if you want to do that.
So okay, so bringing with you people like your best friend, mm-hmm. as long as she's not somebody who you both obsess over weight and body all the time with.
Yeah, or having those conversations before of like, please don't critique my body or talk about it in a negative way.
Yeah.
Or focusing before you even go out to see those people in kind of like the area where everyone looks at you with a dress on, just noticing how it feels on your body. Or a lot of times there's some mirrors where you're trying on the dress, noticing how it looks for you.
Yes.
Because ultimately you're the one who's going to be wearing it on the day, and you mm-hmm. want to find something that you feel good in, that you look good in, and that you're comfortable in. Mm. And you don't have to follow any of these kind of like bridal rules. You don't have to choose a dress. There's all these like kind of rules around like what's flattering for you, or you don't have to wear a dress. You could wear a suit or something else. You don't have to wear a white dress.
You can have sleeves. It doesn't have to be sleeveless.
Yeah. So finding something that you want to wear, that you're going to feel comfortable with, that you want to wear and you want to feel good in. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be white. You don't have to kind of follow any of these rules out there. Mm-hmm. And I kind of love the anomaly that can create the custom dresses.
Yeah.
For you, and they seem a lot cheaper
too. They're a lot cheaper than so many dresses, and it's all right there on your computer, and you're working with a stylist, mm-hmm. and it's such a great service. Do you work with a lot of men or male, or is it mostly female?
So yeah, we have pretty much like always have, not always, but regularly have male clients in our facilities, or transgender clients as well. Mm. So eating disorders can exist in all genders.
Yeah, of course.
And I think males can easily get missed because it may not be the same kind of signs as you may recognize it in women.
Mm. What are some different signs with men versus women?
Instead of as much focus on weight, it could be focusing on obsessing about like muscle size or kind of trying to get like a six pack, this like more muscularity rather than kind of this
masculinity.
Masculinity rather than this weight or this thin ideal.
Mm-hmm. Have you worked with transgender?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And I guess it depends on what gender they identify with and maybe if they're going through changes with regard to hormones and surgeries, potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that can be, I know eating disorders are really common in the transgender population because there's such a disconnect with the body or what it looks like.
Yeah. Right. And then being yoga teacher, as you are and I am, it's all about connecting the mind with the body, right? And like finding that peace and that inner strength and that calmness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I teach restorative yoga to the kids once a week too, which is
always
one of my
favorites. Yeah. You do. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we both teach yoga at, Equinox Gyms, and I love their new, branding and tagline that it's not fitness, it's life. Have you noticed that?
I haven't noticed that, but I'll have to look at it. Yeah.
It's not fitness, it's life. And I just think that's such a great message, right? I mean, yes, they're all going, these people are going to the gym every morning, every day, or some of them not. And yes, it's very nice and it looks good and it smells good most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, you should find like more joyful movement patterns, but movement that you enjoy. It's not, it shouldn't be punishment.
Right, right. And like you said, and we always recommend therapy is important. And not just when you're having a problem, people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I just feel like it's important to just check in with your mental health, just as we do our physicals once a year. So therapy, you know, fitness, movement, whether it's just going out for a fucking walk.
Yeah.
I mean, how often, I really have been thinking about this lately. I just don't go out for a walk. I don't go out and just walk because I'm home and I'm like, I have so much work to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And my kids, they live around the corner. I walk my daughter to school in the morning, but it takes like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just going out for a walk or going to swim or on the weekends, you know, going for a hike, even though I'm not a hiking type person. Go to a yoga class.
Yes.
make it a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Make this part of your life. You can incorporate movement and really nutritional food and body positivity, meditation in so many times throughout the day or days of the week. I mean,
Yeah, I know meditation is another big one that I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
And it could be like this more like a body scan meditation, like scanning from head to toe. So you're building awareness of your body and rather than thinking negative thoughts about it.
Yeah. Last night, I taught a yoga class, and it's a newer class at, down here at the gym. And there were only three people because it's new. It's on the schedule. And two of the ladies in there had taken my class once before, but they're older. They're just brand new into fitness. And one of them, her husband has brain cancer and he's had it for quite a while. And she was telling me, and it was just kind of like in the middle of class, cause I said to them, I'm going to teach this as if you guys have never taken a yoga class. I'm going to break things down. I want to explain it to you and work with each of you individually. And it was great. It was one of those perfect, you know, everybody's like, yes, this is awesome. And she just kind of all of a sudden started sharing, like, my husband has brain cancer. You know, I've gained so much weight because he was in the hospital for 9 months and we didn't know if he was going to die. Like literally they told me he could die tonight. He could die tomorrow. I was stressed. I was worried. I have pain in my neck. I was eating hospital food. She's like, I'm fat. She said, and she's Latina, and gorda is something that in the Latin community, they say the word fat, skinny, fat, skinny, fat, skinny. Here in our society and American culture, we're like, don't use that word fat, you know, don't use that word skinny, right? And that's when I said to, she goes, and yeah, the doctor said I should do yoga. It's good for stress, but I can't do these movements. I can't move like that. I can't sit this way. And immediately I'm like, okay, everybody sit down. You know, like I want you to close your eyes. I just want you to be silent and notice the sounds in the room. And then, you know, kind of took it through a meditation. And I think a lot of people don't realize, they think meditation is like, I have to be really still and I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything. And then they're like, I can't do this. There's no fucking way I can do this. But if you just sit there and you're quiet and just listen to the cars outside, listen to the birds, listen to your dishwasher, listen to yourself breathing, notice that your foot is falling asleep. That's meditating, right?
Yeah. And it could be just starting with 1 minute a day. It doesn't have to, or 5 minutes a day. We can make these things really accessible to all people.
Or laying in your bed.
Yes.
Just laying there with everything quiet.
Yeah.
That's meditating.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I love walking my dog in the morning because it's like getting outside, quiet, just spending time in nature right away.
That's a walking meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love it. Anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No, I mean, if you want more information, you can definitely reach out.
Yeah, how can people find you? You have a website, you have a blog, you write, throw it all out there.
Yeah, so my website's probably the best way to find me, laurenfowler.co. I think you guys can put it in the show notes.
Yep.
I do have kind
of that's laurenfowler.co.
.co, yes. Yeah. I have a monthly-ish newsletter where I
monthly-ish,
just depends on how busy I am. Where I write about a lot more of these topics, and I have also free, like week-long kind of make peace with food free email course that if you're interested, you can sign up for that. It's all on my website.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, and then you have a resources page here too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I have a resource page with just different
books.
Intuitive Eating is kind of one of my go-to books, different podcasts if you're interested in learning more about these.
Ooh, I like this. Look at these podcasts. Okay. I'm going to check them out.
Yeah.
I've heard of podcasts. I think they're pretty cool. Okay, cool. And then when's your wedding, Lauren?
My wedding's in August. Yes. So excited.
Yes. Any advice for those out there planning their weddings? Anything you want to throw out that you've experienced through the planning process that surprised you?
The money. I think just taking a break, my fiance and I took a break probably over the holidays from wedding planning, which is really helpful to just spend time with family during that time. So now we're just kind of jumping back in to things. Yeah.
Yeah. Because
and make it your own. Like we're not having a cake. We're having Ben and Jerry's cater because Ben and Jerry's is really close to our venue. So really excited about that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ice cream. Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah,
thanks for
sharing and talking about this. I think it's something that more people need to talk to and really kind of look inside each of you individually to see if you can be more positive with your body and your thoughts, and we could all stand to be a little more healthy.
Yeah.
Physically and mentally.
And this is a journey. So you don't have to change these things overnight.
That's right. So. It doesn't have to happen right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you. And all right, let's see if I can do this justice the way Christy does. You can get a hold of us many ways. You know I love a good phone call, a good voicemail, 415-723-1625. We are on email. That's another good way to ask us questions. TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast@gmail.com. Instagram, The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Facebook, The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Twitter, Christy will be super excited if you tweet something at TBWP Podcast. And Patreon, if you want to support us, a little money would be really awesome. Patreon.com/TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast. And I think that's it. I think that's all the ways. Let me know if I forgot something. Thank you all so much. Happy planning. And we will talk to you next week.